Yeah, just coming up here after that song and the words of that song, it starts bringing imaginations. You start thinking about what it's going to be like.
Yes.
Well, all of a sudden we look up, there he is.
Hallelujah.
Wow, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Only believers can imagine.
Yes.
Only believers.
Yeah.
If you have a problem not imagining that this morning, we need to pray for you. Because you need to be able to imagine that.
Amen.
That brings some excitement in your life.
Yes.
As Brother Carl says, it brings a little fire in there, you know?
Yes.
We all need some fire.
Amen.
You know, if you had some issues like I had on the way here trying to get here today, we know that the enemy is out there just wanting to stop some things. I mean, the first when I got on what highway is that, 369, mm-hmm. Browns Ridge, probably went up there a couple of miles, and there was red lights and cars stopped and cars turning around going back. I'm thinking, that's not a good sign. You know, they're turning around going back, and they had a big wrecker truck.
Yeah.
And he was on the opposite side of the road, so you only have two lanes there.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I had to drive over about a couple feet thick of sheetrock to get across there. Some cars wouldn't try that, but thank God I could get across that. And the traffic on the other side going, that's east, right? Going east, they were lined up for miles and miles.
Oh, wow.
And then I got here closer, about 1 mile from the turnoff of where, I guess, 306.
Uh-huh.
About 1 mile, I think it was 9/10, if you want to be exact. Carl likes exact. Okay, 9/10 mile. I did check it, so for you, you know. No, I wasn't kidding. But there was ambulances coming around me and fire trucks coming around me. There was wreck up there, three cars on the side of the road. I'm thinking, man, the devil doesn't want me to be here today.
That's right.
Amen? God must want to use me today.
That's right. Amen.
So maybe you're hungry for something.
Yes.
And that's the only way to get it.
Amen.
If I come to church, nobody's hungry.
Yeah.
And nobody's expecting anything.
Right.
Then, you know, it's no sense me being here.
Yeah.
But I always like it when people are hungry.
Amen.
Amen. Well, just like with this song here, you know, God is our source. God is my source. So, Father, right now I come before you. I just thank you, Lord, that I'm here tonight. That each person that's here tonight, Lord, come with something they need from you. We can never say we've got it all. We've got it all. Everything's working perfect in our life because you haven't completed us yet. You said you want to complete some things in our life. And tonight, we ask you to work on those things. Show us those things.
Yes.
Show us those things that we need that will change our life into the mold and plan that you have for us. We are your clay. You're our potter. So we thank you for your word tonight, that you'll get us on the right track. That if anyone here tonight that's having distractions in their life, that there's things attacking them in their bodies when they have problems receiving the word of God tonight, I lift them up to you right now, Father, right there in their seat. Right there where they are right now, that they'll not be distracted.
Yes.
The devil will not have a place tonight.
Yes.
We'll not give him a place. That your word will go forth. It will bring your power, your anointing,
yes,
that will set people free right now.
Yes.
That nothing the devil has planned,
yes,
will work in this church service tonight in anybody's life.
Right.
I declare it in Jesus' name,
yes,
right now.
Yes.
And everybody said, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. You can be seated. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, you know, I was, I don't need this up here. I got too much stuff up here. I got too much electronics and everything. Glory to God. I had an email that came in from Kenneth Copeland. Did you? And he was talking about the word that he got this year for 2016. And, you know, y'all probably hear it every year. I'm sure that Pastor David tells you what's happening on that side, you know. And the word he had this year seems pretty simple, but it says the year 2016 is the great year.
Yeah.
Well, I can imagine being in his place when God would say that. You say, what does that mean? You know, we like to encourage people every time you come to service. We want to pick people up. That's what we're here for. We're not here to break you down. You know, I remember something Oral Roberts said years ago. He says, you know, a lot of preachers are just preaching people to death. He said, we need to preach them to life.
Amen.
We need to get some life, encourage them, build them up, stir them up to go out and reach out for more of God in their life. But he says, when he says, well, what do you mean, Lord? It's the great year. He said, it is great for whatever you need it to be. Isn't that right? Anybody have that email? It's great for whatever you want it to be, whatever you need it to be. You know, here's my question to you tonight. What is it that you need for it to be a great year for you this year? So we kind of want to talk about setting goals and getting a vision, finding our purpose for God for this year of 2016 and going on into our destiny. We kind of want to go that direction. And I got to think about something, and I just happened to look in my notes. Anybody have notes on your, under church, y'all got one of those? No? Nobody's got one of those notes like that? It's under church? Well, something I put in here a few months back, and when I saw this, I'm thinking, wow, that lines up with what Kenneth Copeland was saying here. You know, and I said, well, gosh, I guess I'm going to have to share that tonight. I'm going to find it here. And it starts off with this right here. Sometimes I start writing. I don't know about you, Pastor David. When I start writing, sometimes I just don't seem to quit until I get 5, 6, 7, 10 pages. Just writing all kinds of stuff. I mean, I think, well, one day I might use it. I don't know. But I wrote this in here. And I know it was God speaking to me, but I believe it's God wants to speak to you now, these same things. And it goes along with what Kenneth Copeland was saying there. God wants you to have his best this year. That kind of goes along with that, doesn't it? And the scripture that was given to me was Deuteronomy 2, verses 1 and 2. And he says this here, stop circling the mountain and turn north. You ever preached that one before? I don't know if I've ever preached that before. I remember, turn your face to the wall, Hezekiah. But anyway, it says, stop circling the mountain and turn north. I mean, sometimes I feel like I am circling the mountain. Don't you? Anybody else? I'm the only one confessing the truth tonight. Okay, y'all remember? Y'all are in church. Be honest now. Okay, most people want, we're talking about teaching on change, right? Been teaching on that lately. Most people want progress, but don't want to change. Do not allow your past to control your future. Forget those things behind. Get up and dust yourself off. I remember, Pastor David, when I first came back, when I first moved over here from Louisiana, I kind of didn't want to get into church and pastoring and ministering and stuff like that. Yeah. Well, I wanted to kind of take me a little sabbatical, And I went to a church called, what was it called? Word of Faith Church over in Kennesaw. Yeah. Faith Christian Fellowship, something like this. FCF Church. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm talking about. Yeah. And I walked in there with about 250 people, so me and my wife sit on the back row. They won't be conspicuous at all, So we just come in there, I'm sitting back there, and the pastor was out of town. I forgot his name. But his wife was ministering. You remember?
Danny and Gwen Griffin?
Yeah. Yeah. And she called me and Patsy, says, this couple in the back. I'm thinking, we can't hide. How can we not hide in the middle of this? It was right after I got through singing and worshiping God. I'm thinking, we didn't want to act like somebody different. And here we act like everybody else. Raised our hands with everybody else. Did everything like everybody. So we'd be not stick out, But she says, this couple back here, I want you to come up. I said, okay, here we go. And she says, hold my hand with this little tricircle here, And she says, the Lord showed me that you've been in a boxing, just like in a boxing ring. Mm. And you've been hit and knocked around a little bit, and you're reaching for the towel to throw it in. And she says, God says, don't throw the towel in.
Amen.
Get back in the ring. And I'm going to be the one giving you the strength to win this thing.
Amen.
And and then she used the scripture, the gifts and calling of God without.
Yes.
You read that book? I said, not knowing me, but anyway, when I hear that, even though I know it's God, I want to kind of get back and say, God's going to have to give me a confirmation on this thing. I'm out here somewhere else. It's like my wife says, he's going to have to appear to me in person to get me back into ministry again. That's what she says. That's what she's still saying today. But anyway, look where she's at. Anyway. He must have ministered through somebody, and it looked like Jesus to her. But anyway.
Yes. Amen.
But God has a way of getting to you and speaking to you. He wants you to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what challenges you're going through, he's got a plan for you. He's got a destiny for you. Don't let the things of your past, don't let those things discourage you, and change what vision God put in your heart. He put visions in everybody's heart. You say, I have a vision? Yeah. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's something he put there, not something you dreamt up. They don't have that word in Louisiana, but anyway. I think I heard that somewhere around here. But anyway, where was that? Okay. Dust yourself off, right? Get back in the race. This year is going to be God's year for favor and blessings. Get over your mistakes, your bad choices, your heartaches, your rejections. Get over Satan's attacks that's been against you. Lift up your head and say, this is my year of jubilee. Now, I'm saying these things today. You can say, this is for me.
Amen.
Hello? You can say, this is for me today. Because this was God speaking, right? Remember when God speaks? It's logos, it's rhema, it's a word for you. Amen? Lift up your head and say, this is my year of jubilee. We must turn loose of any resentment of those that have hurt or disappointed us. Why? Because as long as you nurse that resentment, you build your prison and give them the key. You know, I could preach on any one of these statements here. It's been a while. They have the key that locks you up and out of God's blessings. You remember I used the word churima, strongholds, last week? And that's the word, this word churima means the prison walls. They either keep you in prison, whether you're in a fortress hiding there, staying away, or in prison completely. That's what strongholds are. And it says, so if they have the key to you, every time they're around you, they bother you, you've got to get over it. You've got to let it go. You've got to let God take care of it. There's somebody in here tonight needs that.
Yeah.
There are some things you've got to let go to be able to go on with God.
Amen.
Don't let the little things
that
somebody has done to you, you say, well, maybe might not be too little,
yeah.
But don't let that hold you back from God's destiny for you. Because some people will hold on to little things.
Right.
I mean, maybe a little fault that you have, a little problem that you have. Most of us have a few, or at least one. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Where am I? Anyway, they have the key that locks you up and out of God's blessings. The promised land, the land of milk and honey, the land of abundance, of more than enough, a land with freedom from the past and also land of freedom from the fear of the future, a future of love, joy, peace, and divine health and victory in Jesus. This is your year where your giants will be defeated by the sword of the Spirit. Release those that have attacked you in the past. Trust God to serve judgment. Vengeance is the Lord's, not yours. It took Israel 40 years to make a change to get out of their past, their rut, and enter the promised land. It took one day to get Israel out of Egypt, but 40 years to get Egypt out of Israel. You might have heard that before. Contentment to not enough and just enough is slavery. God never delights in poverty or just getting by. The Bible says, turn north. We must understand activity. Well, this is a good point. We must understand activity isn't always progress. That's what Israel made a mistake by thinking. Just because they were going for 40 years, they were going somewhere. Yeah, we're thinking about Israel. But let's point it around to us. How long would it take us to realize just because we're being, how you do that, Royal? Yeah, it goes both ways, right? Anyway. Just because we're doing something good doesn't mean we're doing something God, that God has for you. I mean, we can do a lot of good things. I'm saying do something good when the opportunity comes. But we need to seek and find out what the God thing is for us. Every one of us have a part. God called us all into this thing. He chose you, didn't he? Okay, we must understand activity isn't always progress. Israel mistook movement for progress. It took them 40 years to complete a 14-day journey. I know some people say 11-day journey. It doesn't matter. It's a lot less than, traffic. It was real bad for 40 years. He needs to change. Needs to make a turn somewhere. The change needs to be done, right? It's time for change. The power of hope that comes from the Word of God, hope of a favorable future outcome. We need hope for faith to have substance. Yes. Focus on God's Word and His promises, and you will receive a second win for battle. I didn't finish it. Receive a second win for battle fatigue. A refreshing. The kingdom of God suffers violence, but the violent take it by force. And Luke, it says the kingdom of God is within us. Romans 14:17 says the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, yes. Right? So what is the righteousness? What is the kingdom of God? See, sometimes you got different translations. People use this and they'll say, well, the kingdom of God and kingdom of heaven. I have news for you. The kingdom of heaven is not suffering violence. Amen. Okay? Yeah. But not in the heaven where we're going to be. There's a heaven around us that may be some suffering some violence. But when you look at it as the kingdom of God is suffering violence, what is the kingdom of God? It's not food and drink, meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So what you're being attacked as Christians, the way we're attacked, is the righteousness, the peace, and the joy of the Holy Ghost. The devil wants to take away your joy, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen? But when you have a merry heart, it's good like a medicine, huh? So the joy of the Lord is what God wants us to have. That's what's been attacked. So I want you to know something. That I heard something John Osteen said, John Osteen said years ago that we are missing a lot of ministry opportunities. Because there's a lot of people that are oppressed, a lot of people that are hurting, a lot of people don't know how to put on the helmet of hope to cover their heads, their minds. See, that's what covers. When you put the helmet on, you're covering your head, right? What's in your head? Your mind. So a lot of people are being attacked there. That's where the battlefield is. I know Joyce Meyer has a book called The Battle of the Mind, right? You can read it 100 times and you'll still get something every time you read it, just like the Bible. Somebody says, well, I want some fresh manna. Well, this stuff's been around for several thousand years, but it's still good and fresh to me. Amen. Every time I open it up, right? That's right. It's fresh. Amen. So let's start off here with something tonight. I want to share some things. And the first scripture I want to look at is 1 John 3:8. We're talking about knowing your purpose, knowing what God has for you. And I know I can give you some more scriptures that'll say, Jesus says, as my Father sent me, so send I you. He says, if you've seen the Father, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father, right? And the works that I do prove the Father's in me. Hello? How many has Jesus in you? If you've got Jesus in you, the works are in you. Amen. We just need to manifest them. We just need to act by faith on them, that God will use us to do those same works. He said, he that believes in me, the works I do, he shall do also, right? So we got a lot of confirmations on this. Out of the mouth of two or three or four or five witnesses, you know, we've got some witnesses that Jesus wants to live in us. He's through with his part, but he's not through with the part where he is the Word. See, the Word wrapped up with flesh came on this earth for a while. But now the flesh is gone and the Word is still here.
Amen.
He's back in his original form, yeah. Right? And he's given us his Word, the same power, the same anointing to do the same works. 1 John 3:8 says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifest, that he might do what?
Destroy.
I know we can look at that word destroy, and it means raise. Raise, R-A-Z-E. It means to destroy, it means to crush, to smither, to crump to pieces, almost like blowing something up. Amen? See? If anybody was born to raise hell, it was Jesus.
Hey, that's right.
Hello?
That's right. Amen.
R-A-Z-E. Yeah. I'm glad you had to say that. Somebody else might not understand what I'm talking about. But that's it. Yeah. He was born to raise the devil's works.
Yeah.
He knew a purpose. Remember in Luke chapter 4, I think you have that scripture. In Luke chapter 4, I want to read it, see if I can find it here. Jesus knew what his purpose was. That's why it's so important for us to learn what our purpose is. So important here. I like to read the other part in front of this. Let's look at verse 16 of chapter 4. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. As his custom was, he went into synagogue until on the Sabbath day, and he stood up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of Isaiah, right? And when he had opened this book, he found. Somebody say, he found.
He found.
It's not like somebody went over there and gave him the book and said, read this right here. It wasn't like he took it up and he just, whoosh. Some people say that's the way they like to preach. Let it open and wherever it falls, we'll preach on that. And we shall do also. Go cut your head. No. Go hang yourself. No, we won't do that. But no, he found a place. He found himself. He found his purpose.
Yes, yes, yes.
It's our job to find our purpose. It's our job to find what God wants us to do.
Amen.
I want him to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen?
Amen.
You want to hear that? So let's find out some things here. But here's what Jesus did. He said, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the brokenhearted and to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, and set at liberty them that are bruised, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And then he closed the book. See, he knew what his purpose was. Then he closed the book. And he gave it again to the ministers, and he sat down, and all eyes were on him, right? All eyes of all them that were in that synagogue were fastened on him. And then he began to say, he wasn't through yet, right? He wasn't through yet. Then he began to say, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears, right? So that really got them looking at him then, for sure. This day, you know, this is the day.
Amen.
This is the day. That's what he said. This is the day you're going to see this happen. This is the day it's happening now. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he's anointed me for this purpose. That's what he's anointed you for, the same purpose.
Amen.
It's just a part of getting you encouraged to where you'll step out in faith to do those things. Faith comes by what?
Hearing
God's word. You keep hearing God's word, you're going to slip up and start acting like what God says.
Amen.
Yeah.
It's just a part of what you're spending your time in. If we're spending in the world, acting like the world, standing around the world and filling ourselves with the world, then no, it's not going to happen. you're just going to get stirred up on Sunday mornings or maybe a little bit on Wednesday night. But we're talking about getting in the Word of God, meditating on the Word of God, seeing yourself in the Word of God, seeing Jesus, seeing what you're supposed to be like, and doing the same thing, getting a vision. That's a vision that everybody needs. It's to see, when they look in the mirror, they see Jesus wanting to do something. When he looks out with compassion and seeing the needs of the people. Remember when he looked out and he saw the people, and he said he was moved with compassion? He said that they needed laborers, mm-hmm. right? They might not have had a shepherd, but they needed laborers.
Yeah.
Your call as a Christian is to go you in all the world and make disciples.
Amen.
I would say most Christians never make a disciple. Isn't that terrible?
Yeah.
Disciples, making disciples.
Yeah.
What is making a disciple? Well, that's not what I'm teaching tonight. That's a discipleship class we'll teach sometime, you know? But no, I am teaching on that night in a way, but you just won't call it that. But it's a part of seeing yourself doing what God wants you to be doing. He wants you to have a vision. You know, Acts 10:38, we used that Sunday morning. Acts 10:38, where Peter said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, whom God anointed with the Holy Ghost and with power, who goes about doing good." What was he doing good? Healing.
Yes.
All that were oppressed or tormented
yes.
of the devil.
Yes.
All. Jesus is the same today, isn't he?
Yes.
Does he want to do the same thing?
Yes.
So anybody that's being oppressed or tormented or attacked by the devil, Jesus wants you free. Amen? He sent you his word to set you free. If you know the truth, if you continue my word, you're my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and then the truth then will set you free. But you must be a disciple. You must be one that will continue in the Word of God to get that blessing. But that doesn't mean now that somebody can't lay hands on you and pray for you to be healed. Just because you didn't do everything you need to do, somebody else can. That's what our part. We should be moved with compassion on people
Amen.
That need help.
Amen.
They don't have to be perfect like you. Hello?
That's right.
I mean, I'll pray for anybody. I don't know everything about people, but I'll pray for them.
Sure.
I'll put my hands on their head till they're bald headed when I get through. You know, I'll rub it, you know. Or I may pour oil on them until they can't sit back in their chair again. You know, they may get something or not, but it's you know, my part is to lay hands on them.
Right.
You know, I think that's what Kenneth Hagin taught us over and over again.
Yeah.
Most people get healed by just simply laying hands on somebody.
Uh-huh.
So go ahead and try it.
Yeah.
Try it by faith, all the faith that you have.
Right.
And then say, "Lord, help my unbelief if you have an issue there." You know, that's his job to help you there too.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes.
But that's what our part is. But I'm trying to get somewhere. Gosh, I better get going here. We've got to get this vision of, you know, Jesus had a vision of his purpose. He had a vision of his destiny. He knew where he was going. He knew what he had to do. And he did that. He was obedient to that. It's time for the church to get a vision of their purpose. I can't remember who that was. Anyway, that's what this, I was reading something, a statement that somebody made into the church. Seeks out and finds their purpose. The church will continue to struggle. If I told you who the guy was, you'd know who he was. I just can't remember who he was right now. But anyway, God tells me later, I'll tell you. But it doesn't matter. It was God that gave it to him.
Right.
You know, so that's the one. That's just like praying for somebody. He says, "Oh, we prayed for so-and-so." You want credit for praying for somebody? Who answers the prayers? That's who gets credit.
Hey,
oh, I got off again, didn't I? Anyway, all right. Yeah, somebody needs to know that. I don't know who needed that, but anyway, turn your Bibles to Proverbs 29, 18. I don't know if I gave you that one or not, did I? Well, you know what Proverbs 29, 18 says. People without a vision perish, right? People without a vision perish. It's so important to have a vision. You know, vision gives you the strength, gives you the power to get up and go. If you don't know, if you know, just say in the morning when you get up, if you don't have anything to do, it's kind of hard to get up.
Yep.
You have to have something planned for that day to get you motivated. But if you have some great things to do that's really on your heart that you want to do, that will give you the motivation to get up and to get going. God has something for you to do if you're here and you're alive. You can check. See if everything's still ticking here. If you're alive, he's not through with you.
Amen.
If you're alive, he chose you. He says he wants a living sacrifice. Isn't that what he says? You know, present your bodies a living sacrifice, not a dead one. Some people are like, come, Lord, come quickly. You get me out of this mess. You know, well, you've got to understand that you are a vessel that he wants to live through. He gives you the armor. He's given you the weapons. And now he wants to give you a direction that you won't have to go 40 more years. Amen. It's time to quit circling a mountain and go north. You know where north is, right? You go north. Look up toward him where your redemption draws, right? Okay. We always have a scripture for everything, don't we? Proverbs 29:18. Without a vision, people are perishing. I know I'm not trying to impress you with the Greek words. It's not Greek. It's Hebrew this time. So, no. Anyway, the Hebrew word for vision is chazon. It's the power to see or ability to perceive by sight or through dreams. Then the word perish, you know, it's without a vision, people perish. Well, it just sounds to me like their life is a waste, right? And that, and the Hebrew word there is the Hebrew word paraw, P-A-W-R-A-W. It means vain or to accomplish nothing. You know, another word for perish is death. When something perishes, it's dead. When you're carrying some frozen meat around and it thaws out, and when it thaws out, it is perishing, right?
Yeah.
And it's a dead cow or dead pig or whatever it is, and nobody should try to eat it, right? Well, if we don't have a vision, we don't, you know, our life is vain. We have nothing to accomplish. We're not going anywhere. Is that true? You know, we have to have something. You know what that really means? It means you're dying on the inside without a vision, without a purpose. You know, I know a lot of people set goals to, you know, that when they turn 65 years old, they're going to retire and buy them a golf cart and park it out there on the lake somewhere, you know, or by the golf course. And that's where their vision goes. And that's as far as their vision goes. And guess what? When they do that, they have nothing else to live for.
Right.
And they don't live long. I'm not going to give you all the statistics. I have it wrote down somewhere else, and I don't remember them all. But there's a high percentage of people do not live past retirement very long,
yeah, that's right,
because they don't have a vision of where they want to go from there.
Right.
You know, our vision shouldn't be limited to just a certain age, unless it's 150 or 200 or something, you know. Go for all the gusto you can get, right? So with long life will he satisfy you. I have something to say about that.
Yeah.
I had somebody argue with me the other day. And it was somebody kin to me, so it wasn't like it was a bad argument. It wasn't Patsy. I didn't say that. No, it wasn't my wife. We don't ever argue. That's another story. We just have we agree to be disagreeable sometimes, but that's the way it works. Well, where was I? Oh, yeah, somebody I was talking to about, when your time comes, you know, it's just going to happen. I said, well, I have something to say about when my time comes.
Right.
He said, with long life will you satisfy me?
Yeah.
I have a choice here, right? If I'm taking care of my body or whatever and eating right as much as, you know, not all the time, but, you know, I mess up in moderation. Sometimes I mess up or whatever, quite often lately with the holidays and all. But, you know, you're taking care of yourself and exercising and doing the things you should do to take care of this earth suit that you live in. You know, you can claim the scripture and say, with long life will it satisfy me.
Right.
Hello? You have a reason. You're speaking the word of your life, and you know it's you know, as you meditate on the word and you get it inside of you, it's life, it's health, it's medicine to all your flesh.
Amen.
Right? You take care of yourself. But I can say that with long life. But somebody say, well, you know, if it's their time to go, well, if you're on an airplane and there's somebody in there and it's their time to go, guess what? Everybody else goes with them too. You know, especially if it's a pilot.
Yeah.
Well, I just get on an airplane and say, it's not anybody here's time to go. Well, I'm on an airplane. I had a guy in church one time tried to die on me. I didn't know he was the town drunk at the time. I just knew passing that little town. And he'd come in off the streets on a curb, walked in the building, and got on the front row. Come right up front, man. And so I'm just preaching along there, and all of a sudden he started, you know, gagging and coughing. I went over and I said, his face had turned red. Well, it could have been red from drinking, I don't know, but it was red. And I just reached over and grabbed him by the shoulders and said, in Jesus' name, we don't allow anybody to die during church services. You know, I didn't know of anybody. But I'd been listening to too much Smith Wigglesworth before I preached on that, you know. So I just grabbed him by the shoulders there, you know. Actually, I did. I took him from there up against the wall over there and prayed with him some more. But I've had some strange things happen like that. But we just don't allow them to do that, right?
Amen.
It interrupts the church service. We don't want that. No interruptions. So I don't want any more interruptions. I'll get off the side stories. Get back here. I don't have any of those stories here. That means you're dying on the inside, right? There is no impetuous. There's no drive. There's no force. Nothing is driving you without a vision. No navigation. You know, we need a navigation. We need somewhere to go. You know, if you have your navigator and you set it in the GPS, you put it in there where you want to go, then all you got to do is point it in that direction and take off, right? Put it in gear first to take off. Some people hadn't put it in gear. I wonder why they hadn't got there. But, you know, I like the navigator. You know, I've got one on my bass boat that I can, you know, can sit in there where I want to go out fishing, point that thing, and it just tells me where to go. But I still have to mash on the gas pedal to get there. It's not going to go unless I go. But, I mean, you know, I could drive out in the fog where you can't see nothing. With that navigator, it's got the GPS thing showing you where to go, showing you where you are and everything in front of you, even though you see nothing but solid fog. You can go there. Now, I know some guys do it at 60, 70 miles an hour. I'm not doing that. I don't quite trust the navigator like I do trust God and trust the brain he gave me,
yeah.
You know. So we'll get off another sidetrack again. I keep getting these sidetracks. Somebody must need that. It's called a Generation 2 touch. No, you don't need that. We need this force. We need that drive. The purpose. You know, somebody said this. I can't remember who it was. If it was, I'd tell you. The purpose of life is a life of purpose. The purpose of life is a life of purpose. Remember this right here. Your success in this life is directly connected to your specific purpose and destiny. A lot of people think that they have a life of success because they've got money in a bank and all this kind of stuff. That's what success is to them. But in God's eyes, your success is connected to his purpose and his destiny he has planned for your life. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. We have to learn that. John 15:16. I have it here in the King James. But we're going to do the King James and Amplified here. John 15:16. You didn't choose him. You think you did. But he chose you to reveal to you the way of salvation. Thank you, Lord, that he chose me to show me the way of salvation. You didn't choose him. Yeah, we'll do Amplified. No, he's going to do it next, after this right here. He's going to do it. You've not chosen me, but I've chosen you, and I want to get this one word in there. Ordained. It's not in the Amplified. And ordain you that you should go forth and produce fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. He chose you. Now read. Now show the Amplified here. You didn't choose him. He chose you. But I just think in a way that, you know, when you're a kid or something, you have kids get together and you're going to have a little ball game or something, you choose sides. Somebody over here and somebody over here. Well, just think, now he chose you to be on his side.
Amen.
I'm so glad. I'm so glad he chose me.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you've not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed you, and I have planted you. Say planted.
Planted.
I have planted you that you might go and bear fruit and keep on bearing, and that your fruit may be lasting, that it may remain and abide. So whatsoever you shall ask the Father, he'll do it. Well, you are a planting. You're a plant.
Amen.
Look at yourself as a plant. That God planted you, chose you, and he planted you. But he planted you to produce fruit.
Amen.
And remember, as I said before, your fruit is not for you.
Right.
A lot of people live for themselves. But your fruit is not for you. Your fruit is for other people.
Right.
Amen? Maybe their fruit is for you. But your fruit is for others to be a blessing.
Yes.
God wants you to be, but he wants you to understand that he chose you, and he wants you to understand that you are a planting. Look at Ephesians 2:10. We're going to look at that amplified. I know it in the King James, but it's pretty good here in amplified. So in King James, Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship." And the word workmanship is the Greek word polema, which means a product of Jesus. So we are a product. Now he says we're a plant. So us being a plant, we are a product of Jesus. It's what he's working on. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good, it's a reason now, that we may do those good works. This is what you're all about, that you may do those good works which God had predestined, pre-planned, beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time that we should walk in them, living the good life.
Yeah.
Somebody say, good life.
Good life.
Which he prepared, prearranged, and made ready for us to live. He wants us to understand that we are his workmanship. We are his handiwork. He is working on us. He's not completely through yet. You know, you can look in the mirror. He's still working on you.
Amen.
Amen. We are his handiwork, but we are created for good works. That's what he was doing, right? Good works. And that is the good life. You want the good life? I'm telling you, I have never had so much fun in my life.
Amen.
It's when I'm out there witnessing somebody, praying for somebody, and they get saved, or they get healed. Whew! I mean, it doesn't get no gooder than that, I'm telling you. I mean, I've never had more fun than those things happening in my life. And when people would be with me, they say, "Wow, how did you do that? How did you know to do that?" I don't have to know that. All I have to do is trust God.
That's right.
That's what we're singing about here. We're trusting, you know, we're trusting God. That he's our source. That he, you know, once I read the Word of God and study the Word of God, the Holy Spirit's job is to bring it back to my remembrance, those things that he said to me. He brings back to my remembrance the Logos he said.
Yes.
And when I speak the Logos, it becomes Rhema. It's a spoken word. In Revelations 1 and 2, it says it is a two-mouthed sword. It's the distomus. That's the best I could do. Distomus, anyway. D-I-S-T-O-M-A-S. I'll spell it to you. Maybe M-O-S, anyway. I got it in the Bible about four different places. But we have the Word of God inside of us. The Holy Spirit wants to use that Word through us to speak that Word, which is in Ephesians 6:17. It says the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That is the two-mouthed sword. Rhema. It's the same, it's a Greek word, rhema, which means the spoken word. He's given us that. He's given us everything we need to do the thing. He couldn't tell us to go out and do the same things without giving us the same equipment that Jesus had, right? He wouldn't do that.
Right.
He couldn't do that. But, what I want to do tonight, just kind of give you a introduction to something to get you going in a certain direction here to understand that, you know, He has a good plan for us. Jeremiah 29:11. We'll close with that. Everybody likes the scripture, Jeremiah 29:11. I want to read it in Amplified here and see what it says here in Amplified. It says, "And this whole land shall be a waste and astonishment." 29:11. I don't know anything about the land, the waste, and all that. That's not our favorite part of that scripture. Let me preach that one now. We got to be in season at all times. Preach whatever shows up there. See if you. Well, I'll read it then. We can. Have you got it? 29:11. I know my plans or whatever. Let's see. King James says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace, not of evil, but to give you an expected end." In Amplified, it says hope and end.
Yeah.
As a result, hope and end. Again, the word hope means a joyous expectation. So that's where I want to kind of go, that direction. I want you to start expecting some good things to happen.
Yes.
I want to show you how to expect them. You know, the reason we can expect them, we find them in God's Word.
Amen. Yes, that's right.
I have some examples of some people that were expecting some good things, and they put it before them. And they took like Habakkuk, they wrote it down, they put it before them, they could see it. And they see it on a daily basis. I don't mean every once in a while, but see it on a daily basis, and it'll change your life. That's a spiritual law. It's a spiritual law. You know what? That spiritual law will work for people not even born again. God set it into existence. It's a spiritual law. I mean, people that can be not even a Christian, and if they're a tither, the windows of heaven can open for them and be blessed. It's a spiritual law. God put it in, into this. He's spoken into existence. It's God's word. He's not going to change it. But for I know the thoughts and plans that I have for you, says the Lord, thoughts and plans for welfare. This is what God has planned for us, for welfare and peace, and not for evil, to give you hope and a final outcome. God doesn't have a plan for you to be cursed. God has a plan for you to be blessed.
Amen.
God has a plan for you to be prosperous.
Yes.
God has a plan for you to have more than enough.
Amen.
Just be content. As I said before, people take that word content out of context.
Yeah.
When Paul said, I've had plenty, and then I've had it when I didn't have much. And the reason I'm saying this is because some people might not have heard it. But he says, I've learned to be content in all these things. That word content does not mean the word we use, the word content in the English. That word content means to be independent of the circumstances that I'm going through.
Yes.
Hello? These things, in other words, another place he says it for confirmation of this. He says, I might not know what's going to happen next town I go through. I mean, they're waiting for me with stones to stone me. They want to kill me. They want to put me in jail. But you know what? None of those things move me. Woe be unto me if I preach not the gospel of Christ. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. I thank you that this word is alive. It's living. It's not dead, but it's alive. The fire, your fire is in your word. Your anointing is in your word. And today the word of God is planted on good soil. And I believe it will produce a harvest, and we'll give you glory and praise for it, because that's what we're here for today, Lord, is to learn how we can give praise and glory to you with our life. This is your life that you can live through me. I'm crucified in my natural life, but I live unto you. And now I know that you're living your life through me. So I thank you, Father, that you've chose me. You've chose each person in here. We all have a specific purpose to be on this earth.
Yes.
We're your dream team. You didn't make a mistake.
That's right.
Everyone here is on the dream team.
Hallelujah.
God chose you to be on his team for such a time as this.
Yes.
No matter what's happening in the world around us, that doesn't change what your word says.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father, for choosing us
and
placing us here to bring glory to you.
Amen.
In Jesus' name,
amen.